With a 50% obesity rate in the U.S. and more unhealthy people than ever before, it is time to make America healthy. Welcome to Make America Healthy with Beth Shaw. If you're feeling tired, toxic, heavy, slow, or stressed, then keep listening. Beth and her expert guests are here to offer practical advice and share the tools you need to reclaim your physical, mental, and emotional health. Now, here is your host, Beth Shaw.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Make America Healthy, where our goal is to empower you with information and inspiration, and also give you the tools so that you can make healthier choices for your body, your mind, your spirit. And today we're diving into a different topic, and that is your security health. And what we mean by security is vetting people in your life, from your babysitter to your business partners, and why protecting your identity online is so important. And also finding out if there's some people in your lives that are scammers. Maybe it's someone that you met off an internet dating site. Maybe it's a potential business partner. Maybe it is a babysitter that you're going to entrust your children with, or a pet sitter. So many things to unpack here. We've got a very special guest with us today and a friend of mine. His name is Mark Hurwitz, and he runs Crossroads Investigations. And it is a great company that will help you protect yourself in the cyber world and you know, your pocketbook and everywhere else where security is important. So I'm going to have Mark introduce himself, tell us a little bit about his services, tell us a couple of stories about people who perhaps didn't do this and the repercussions of that. And then we will we'll go from there. So Mark, welcome to Make America Healthy.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you for having me. I'm really flattered to be here. I've known you for a long time. I'm so impressed with what you're doing and what you've done. And I'm just thankful to be here. So thank you.
Great. You know, financial health is important. Your security health is important. And I'm sure there's a lot of information that you have that just the general public may not be aware of. And in fact, even when we were talking before the show, I'm like, I just hired someone new to do social media and he's got all my passwords and he's missed a couple of meetings. And I'm wondering if I should background check him as well. You know, many times I think when you're a trusting person, you think that everyone is trustworthy, but unfortunately that is just not the case. So tell us a little bit about Crossroads Investigations and how you got your start in this industry, because I know that your business is only growing in this world of online fraud and shady people.
Right, thank you. Yes, Florida is a sunny place for shady people. I know everyone who lives down here agrees, but I think that's true kind of just everywhere. You have to be careful wherever you live.
Mark, is it true that since the pandemic, people have gotten kind of shadier?
You know, people are always trying to find ways to make money easy and take advantage of people. So I think so. I think it's partly that and also a lot more litigation than before because people are looking to not be taken advantage of. So absolutely, we're only busier.
So I can imagine that by engaging your services in the beginning, people will save themselves a lot of problems on the back end.
I think investigation at its core is about risk mitigation. You have to look into everyone you're doing business with to protect yourself. It's a small investment to make to potentially not lose a lot down the road. And we'll talk about a lot of specific examples of that today, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, and again, I'm guilty of this too. I've hired marketing firms that have taken our money and a PR person who did absolutely nothing. So I have used your services for certain things. Probably I should be using your services for everything. Give us a laundry list of people and companies that we should be checking out before doing business with them or engage, yeah, opening up our home to them, leaving them with our pets or our children. And this is really serious stuff. The message needs to get out there.
Yeah, so let me go through some things that my company, that Crossroads, does. Private investigation tools that people may not realize exist out there that can help them with in their day-to-day lives. One of the main things that we do are asset searches. And why is it so important to do an asset search? If you're going to go into business with someone and they say that they're wealthy or that they say they have a certain amount of money in the bank, you want to be able to verify that. We actually have a legal and ethical way to check bank accounts and brokerage accounts, and now even crypto accounts worldwide. Or maybe you've sued someone and they say they don't have the money. We go looking for where is the money. Someone may have the appearance of wealth. They may have a big house, but there may be a huge mortgage. They may have a beautiful, expensive car, but maybe it's financed or there's a mortgage. So all of these things, hard and soft assets, very important to check out. You may want to check out your employees, your tenants. This is a very specific type of background report. It's mandated under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, FCRA. Whether or not you're running credit, you have to run an FCRA approved background report for an employee or a tenant. Some of the rules, they have to give their consent. We can only go back 7 years for criminal. For criminal, we can only look at convictions. So if they were arrested and they got diverted into a pretrial diversion program or they weren't prosecuted, it's not allowed to show on that. If the records were expunged or sealed, it's not allowed to show on that. The report has to include our contact information on there. So if there's a mistake, the candidate can come back to us and have us correct that. That's never happened, but that's part of the rules for the FCRA. And I think it's important when you hire someone to tell them up front, look, we're going to run a background check. We're going to send you a consent link for it. Is there anything that you want to talk about or get in front of before we run the report? And it is amazing, Beth, all the times that people have at that point backed out of applying for the job altogether, or they volunteer crazy stories about something that they did a long time ago that wouldn't have shown up in the background report because it's outside that 7-year scope, but they volunteered the information. Or they say no, and then we do a report and something does come up and they say, oh yeah, well, there was that time. So I think it's a good tool for vetting people just to tell them you're going to run a background report. Of course, when you're running a report on a tenant, you want to check their credit. Are they paying their credit cards on time? If they're not paying their credit cards on time, why would they pay you as a landlord? If they're a babysitter, do you want someone who's financially vulnerable to have full access to your house? Vulnerabilities lead to motivations. A very nice person may be motivated to do something they wouldn't otherwise do because they're financially vulnerable. So you want to run credit. And anyone who's touching your books for business, anyone who's going to be in your house, of course, if they're driving your kids, you have to check their driving record. All common sense things. FCRA reports are not expensive. There's no reason not to do it. You're vetting them for honesty along the way. And you want to have an experienced investigation agency doing it. Why? And I'll give you an example. There was a time when we saw a sexual predator record on the candidate's record. And sometimes that alone can be, you know, of course, that's a huge red flag, right? But when we looked into it further, it turned out when he was 17, he was dating a 15-year-old and the girl's father filed charges against him. And this was 20 years ago, and that charge just stuck with him. So we need to be able to provide context. Now, if you're not running a background check on an employee or tenant, then you can run a much bigger background report without consent. We can do anything. We can look at anything on anyone without consent except credit. Credit is the one thing you need consent for. But a full background report may include arrests, whether or not the person's been convicted, bankruptcies, judgments, liens, evictions, foreclosures, businesses, address information, driver's license information, political party affiliation. It's a great thumbnail sketch on a person. From there, we have two former CIA analysts on our team, and we sometimes build a whole dossier on a person. We're looking into blogs, social media, news, the dark web, whatever we can get, other public records, whatever we can get our hands on, put together a more complete story on a person, on a company, on how two people are related, on how two companies are related. So that's background reports in a nutshell, due diligence. You may want to find somebody. Now, if someone comes to us and they want to find an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend, we turn those cases down. We don't try to help stalkers. However, there's a lot of legitimate reasons why you might want to find someone. In our industry, it's called skip tracing. Finding someone who is skip town. So may need to serve someone. And they're trying to avoid service. Maybe they're staying with a relative. Maybe they've moved recently. So skip tracing is a really important part of the private investigation industry. And of course, there is surveillance following people, which is what most people think about when you think about a private investigator, the gumshoe with the camera and the car. We do a lot of that work, but not for the
What genre do you do? Because I'm just assuming like people who think their spouse is stepping out on them would probably hire you a lot for that.
Yes. And we do that. We definitely do infidelity investigations. However, Florida is a no-fault state. So you don't need evidence of that for divorce, but many people want to see it anyway in black and white. And when individuals call us for an infidelity investigation, they're calling us in an emotional state usually. I mean, imagine the nerves in your head to finally pick up the phone and call a private investigator because you think someone may be cheating on you. So we get a lot of these callers and we're very delicate and we try to be very empathetic with these clients, of course. And we've had some crazy stories, of course. Now, when someone calls in and they think someone's cheating on them, most likely someone's cheating on them. They just want the evidence. But we have had cases that have, we thought would be vanilla dinner out on an outside restaurant that ended up with a long drive to a swingers club one night between the subject and a much younger partner. And the subject's spouse was our client, as an example. But surveillance professionally is much more widely used in the insurance defense industry. That's when someone says that they've been hurt. Maybe it's at Walmart or Publix or Lyft or Uber or Starbucks or Skechers or the cruise lines. So there's just some possible clients we have. And for whatever reason, the insurance company has flagged the case as possible fraud. We follow the person. We see, are they really hurt? They may be really hurt, but they're stubborn and they're doing something their doctor is telling them not to do. Sometimes for a workers' comp case, we have the doctors, we know when the subject's going to go to the doctor's office. And we will be there waiting to see how do they act in the parking lot? Where do they go after? We've had crazy cases. People have gone to the gym. They've come in for a doctor's appointment from out of town, stay at a hotel. We knew what hotel they were staying at, and we watched them lifting weights for like 45 minutes. And they have a neck and back injury, for example. We've had someone recently who has a wrist injury, and we observed them bowling multiple nights. She was in a bowling league. So surveillance can also be used for work non-compete purposes. Someone's not allowed to be working in a certain industry, and we will follow them to see where they're working. It could be used for financial supportive relationship checks. You're divorced or you're separated and you're getting alimony, and perhaps that person is living with someone else and being supported by someone else. A surveillance can show that. So there are many reasons why you can use a private investigator. Those are just some examples. Oh, I'll tell you a little bit more. Bug sweeps. There are listening, people will put listening devices into offices, houses. They'll put a GPS tracker in a car. You cannot put a GPS tracker on a car in Florida unless you're the owner. People don't realize that. Actually, it came out of a Florida legislator who got caught cheating. He did that because of a private investigator put a GPS on his car. After that, he introduced a bill, which was passed, that you cannot put a GPS tracker on someone else's car. However, we do check for GPS trackers, for listening devices. It's called Tactical Surveillance Countermeasures, TSCM. That's the professional word for it, but we call it bug sweeps. And I think, and I guess we'll talk about online security in a little bit, but
well,
that's in a nutshell.
It sounds like, first of all, it sounds like your job is very interesting and always amusing. And I would imagine at times a little horrifying. But you know, there are a lot of services that you can choose online that run kind of cursory background checks on people. I would imagine that running an investigation firm, you have a lot more access than these kind of general true search services, right?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think like anything else in life, you get what you pay for, first of all. So there are a lot of databases out there. They generally use stale information, and they have the records mixed up a lot because they use algorithms. We spend over $40,000 a year just in data. And that's for investigative databases that are available to law enforcement and some licensed private investigation agencies. But we have to go through a lot of security protocols to even have access to that information. I mean, think about it. We have access to a person's social security number in seconds and a click of a button. So we have much deeper access to information than what a layperson can get online through a public database. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I can just think in my own life of instances where I definitely should have used your services. I made an investment in producing some sizzle reels when I was living in Los Angeles for some reality TV shows. And my attorney at the time actually did the agreement with this individual. And then when she, you know, didn't pay any of the money back as promised and didn't have the show sold to Bravo that she claimed she did, they then ran a background check on her and found out that she had 13 different social security numbers, also a Florida residence with a homestead that you couldn't touch. I actually have a judgment against this person, but I am still unable to collect the money because apparently she is very good at hiding her money because she supposedly sold a show to the Travel Channel that was making money, but she herself shows no income. And then I had another situation where I had a renter for my home in Los Angeles, and she started, you know, making a lot of noise about the mattress wasn't comfortable, this and that. And I kind of saw where this was going. And then she stopped paying the rent, and I had to hire a very expensive attorney to get like a 3-day pay or quit, at which point she did move out of the property. But when I spoke to my security guy in Los Angeles and he did the background check on her, he said, you should have done this in advance because she's a 37-year-old woman who's had 57 different residences in her life. And chances are she does the same thing where she'll rent a place for a while, stop paying the rent, wait until the last possible minute, move out and do it all over again. So I can see how your services would be super beneficial. In fact, and even since moving to Florida and hiring marketing firms and PR guys and stuff, you know, it's hard to tell from someone's like website if they're on up on the up and up or not, or if they're just scam artists. And I'm wondering, what does a background check not tell you other than mental health issues?
What does a background check not tell you? Well, I'll give you an example of something that's hard to see. It's a really good question. Marriages and divorces. There is no national database for marriages and divorces. So when you need to know if someone is married or someone's been divorced, we need to see first all the counties that person has lived in, and then check manually, county by county, those clerk of courts. A lot of things that we do, Beth, we are time savers. This is something that our clients, if they have time, if they want to do it, they can do it on their own as well, because there's no magic to something like that. I'll tell you another thing that we cannot check is immigration status. I can tell you how much money someone has in the bank. I can give you a person's social security number, but I can't tell you if they're here legally or not. Uh-huh. But getting to your point about checking on companies or on tenants, some people want to know, are there things that they can do on their own before they hire a private investigator? And absolutely there is. One thing is, of course, to Google that person's name or the company name plus a word spam or scam or complaints or reviews. There's a lot of different Google mechanisms that you can use to check online. You can also go into wherever that person or company is located, into the clerk of courts, and check for judgments against that person. I think that's, our background reports will show judgments, but they don't show if a person is litigious. Judgments are recorded against a person, but if someone is litigious and just opens lawsuits against people, that's something you have to check manually through the clerk of courts. That's when we do our deep dives, that's what we're checking.
And so you can do that, right? If you are getting into business or renting a home to someone who just, makes their money suing people, that's information that you can get, although it doesn't sound that easy to access.
That's all we do day in and day out is getting records, finding information. There's getting original documents from different courts. So if you have the time, if you want to figure out how to do it, but that's what we do. Absolutely. That's we love digging and finding that out. And we do that all over the country. In fact, all over the world.
And I have a lot of friends that do online dating. So I would imagine that it would be helpful for them to use your services to make sure that the man or woman that they're dating is not married, right?
Yeah, we get that quite a bit. Unfortunately, I think it's important. And there are several things that you want to check out for a potential romantic partner. First of all, their criminal background. We had something a few months ago where someone had a very violent background, as it turns out, against their former, I don't think it was a spouse, but a former girlfriend. And there were several arrests against this person. You want to know if the person is financially secure, right, Beth? At our age, if someone is declaring bankruptcy every 7 years and there's a pattern of that, or if they've been evicted several times, that's something that you want to know up front. If they have a tax lien against them by the IRS for $100,000, you may want to know that before you decide, is this someone I want to be serious with? Have they lived where they say that they've lived? Looking at their address history. And of course, looking at where they've lived, checking for marriages and divorces. Do they own properties with someone else? All of these things are very important when you're vetting a potential romantic partner.
And I know you have a lot of female friends that I'm sure you advise and counsel. At what point in a relationship do you think that people should start doing this deep dive?
That's a tough one. When I date, I do it early on because I have access.
I was going to say it must be kind of challenging to date you if someone has a criminal background.
There's not much. People are not able to get really much by me. But I'm an open book as well. But I think you do want to go in with an open mind. And there are times when if there's a bankruptcy or there's an arrest, or you don't want to close someone off too early without understanding the context behind that. That may come up naturally in conversation before you even decide to run a background report. But I do think at some point when you decide you want to be serious with this person and have a potential future with this person, you definitely do want to know what you're getting into. When we run a background report on someone, that person does not know what we're running the report on them. The only thing that we do that anyone knows is when we win credit with consent. So I would recommend that if your listeners decide to run a background report on someone, they should keep it to themselves. I think you can turn off someone, to be quite honest.
You shouldn't put on your match.com profile, all applicants will be subject to credit report, background check, blood test, and anything else that might be potentially hazardous to your health in any way, shape, or form.
Maybe you do, because if no one has anyone to hide, then why not? But I do think, running a background report, people can see it as an invasion of privacy, even though it's only checking public records. So I just think it's something that you keep to yourself. But I do like that idea, because if anyone has nothing to hide, then why not? Why not say, yeah.
I have been guilty on occasion of making a little joke with people that I've dated, like, haha, I'm going to do a background check on you, just to kind of see how they respond to that.
and how do they react?
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us some stories, Mark, of some of the most unusual things that you have seen. And how long have you been doing this now?
I've been doing it since 2008. I was in the White House for 3 years, the National Security Council staff. And then I was in the Central Intelligence Agency after that for several years in other parts of the government, served overseas, Middle East and Persian Gulf. And finally landed in Miami, left the government, and started this company in 2008. And I'm board certified, as an aside, at the state, national, international levels. And I have a whole staff set up, case managers and analysts and field team. And we are very, very busy. And every day is different. We easily run 30 or 40 cases are going on at any given day.
And what is the majority of cases? Is it more on the personal side for people and their romantic relationships? Is it more on the business side with potential business partners? And then I also want to get into how we can vet people from another country, because a lot of us now are doing business with people all over the world. In fact, tell you another story. I've gone to China several times, and we had someone who brought us over in 2012, and then ran into him again when I was there in 2019. And he's like, oh, let's open up some Yoga Fit studios. And I was like, great, let's do that. Fortunately, a friend of mine from Harvard Business School he's a businessman in China, and ran a background check on this guy. The guy had 50 lawsuits against him for opening and closing gyms and yoga studios, taking people's money, and then disappearing and doing it all over again. And I was so thankful, thanks, Charlie's son, that he was able to do this, because he has saved me from a potentially very hazardous business relationship.
I think it's a really good point. And I say this all the time about international investigations. You need to use someone with boots on the ground. And here's just as an example, someone in China does not know how to look up a business in Sunbiz. Right in Florida, they don't know that there may be a doing business ads fictitious name in Sunbiz. You need someone who knows how to search those records in this country, in this state. So when we do work overseas, we use someone on the ground. I've developed through my previous work in the government, and of course through all the different international associations that I'm a member of and go networking with, an amazing network of agents around the world. When you need to find something about someone in China or Romania or Argentina or Venezuela, you need someone there who can do that investigation, who knows how to do that, who's trusted. You can't just pick someone on Google in China to do an investigation for you. They know how to find the information, and we do that work quite a bit. Is this company legitimate? Does this company have assets? We've done a murder, a wrongful death investigation in an overseas location to obtain a toxicology report of someone, of a major league professional sports player, to see how did this person die, because the insurance depended if that person had alcohol in the system or didn't have alcohol in the system. You can't do that from afar. And if you're going to do business with an entity overseas, you need to have that person in that company checked locally by someone who knows how to get that information. We're very lucky in the U.S. We have access to a lot of information about people through the computer, through digital records. Most countries, those records have to be checked manually at the source.
And so if you hire a company out of India or Colombia to do your website, you might even want to check them out, right? Because they could just take your money and...
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, that starts with, before you even call an investigator, an online Google search, that company name in quotes. You can use the plus symbol for scam, for review. That plus symbol forces Google to include that word in the results. So you may want to do crossroads investigations in quotes, and then the plus symbol reviews, or plus scan, and you can do a lot of work on Google on your own. In fact, when I speak around town, I do a whole segment about Google ninja tricks and how to use Google as your personal private investigator.
Well, I want to come hear you speak next time you're speaking around town, because there's definitely a lot that I can personally learn from you. And I think our listeners are very appreciative of this information as well.
I always love speaking, not only to law firms and law sections, but to any businesses, to Rotary clubs. Love doing that. I'm happy to do that.
Wonderful. So, back to, you know, your line of work again. Would you say that a third of it is more personal? Is most of it business? Do you also help people protect their online identity?
Yeah, so definitely a lot of our work are law firms. That's the majority of our work. Lawyers need our services for all kinds of reasons, and not just litigators. All types of attorneys need an investigator sooner or later. I'll give you an example. When you're applying for your citizenship in the U.S., you have to produce all the different records about your time in the U.S. And if you were here 10 years ago and you got a speeding ticket, you have no idea where that what county that was in or what happened to that. That's the type of work that we can help with. Certainly for a probate attorney, we do a lot of work finding next of kin. We had a case one time where we had to send someone to the Jewish Museum, and I think it was in Pittsburgh, to get microfiche of an obituary from the 1920s and then trace from there the lineage back up to today. As far as your own information online, this is really tricky, Beth, because you mentioned earlier about public databases, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of services out there that are data aggregators that you can pay to get information on yourself or on someone else, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, public records. And they're all independent. And each company has its own method for you to remove your own information from their database. If you did it on your own, it would take years, and new companies keep popping up. So we do partner with a company called DeleteMe.com. I have a code for your listeners. It's X Investigations. That's our website. You get 20% off. I think it's a really good service. I wish we had.
Can you give some examples, Mark, of when one would use this? I don't really Google myself. Just don't. But do you recommend that people Google themselves on a regular basis? And then when would they use this Delete Me service?
Yeah. In fact, I would go a step further, and I would recommend to everybody set up Google News Alerts, Google Alerts on not just news, just Google Alerts. And if you Google that, it'll come up. And I have alerts set up on my name, on my phone number, on my email address, on my address, on my parents, anything that anyone near and dear comes near and dear to me is brought up in any article, any blog, any website. I get an alert by Google. It's free. And I definitely recommend doing that, Google Alerts, to keep track of where your information is being published online. Now, why would someone want to remove this? Many reasons. Some people are just private. They don't want their information out there. Some people have gone through a nasty divorce, and they don't want their exes having information about where they've moved to or their new phone number. There are 100 reasons why you may not want your personal information out there.
So let's just say you recently purchased a property and you don't want people knowing where you live. Can that be deleted online?
Once it's out, it's like you cannot put the genie back in the bottle.
Okay.
And that's why when people, sometimes they will get hired by people running for office to do political opposition research on themselves what's going to come up. And they want to see, is that sealed record going to show up, or that expunged record going to come up? Once information is out on the internet, it is really hard to push it back in. The bad guys spend a lot of time preparing to hide. They hide behind LLCs. They hide behind PO boxes. If you want to hide, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to give advice, but if you're worried about that, that's when you buy a property, that's the time to set up an LLC or a company. Have a lawyer do that so your name's not associated with property. Once your name's in public record, that is it.
So when else would people want to protect themselves online, and what are some other mechanisms by which they can do it? Do you have like an advice and counsel service at your business?
We don't. That's why we partner with Delete Me. It's a monthly service that systematically removes people's information off the internet. But I will give you another really cool trick, which some people love. The Google Maps will show a street level view of your house, of your residence. And Google allows you to submit a request to have that blurred. It's very easy. It's just a form that you set up, that you fill out. If you don't want people seeing, what does your house look like? For whatever reason. So that's a very basic thing. But the Delete Me service is very useful to systematically removing your personal identifiable information, PII, off the internet.
That's really good information. Thank you so much. I didn't realize there's so many things that we need to be aware of and be careful of, especially since, you know, there's so many online scams happening right now. Are there some new ones that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, I think I do want to mention, first of all, about social media, how important it is to check your social media from someone's account that you may not be friends with, because the social media companies often will change their terms of service, and what you're posting you think is private is actually not private. All of our investigations start with a social media investigation to see what we can find online. We're not only looking at our subjects, but we're looking at their relatives and their best friends who we identify, who comment on their profile pictures. So that's just something to be very cognizant of.
It's funny you should mention that, because I had a friend in Los Angeles who was, he worked for Bank of America, kind of private banker guy. And he posted on social media, you know, from his vacation. And when he got home, his house had been broken into, his car was stolen, all of his watches were gone. They got his laptop. And he's pretty sure it's because he posted on social media that he wasn't home.
Absolutely.
Does that happen a lot, Mark?
It does happen. And that is why, actually, it's something that I can offer to your listeners as well. We have a social media privacy tip sheet that we update twice a year. It's 19 pages. It's free. Your listeners can email me at markatxinvestigations.com. It goes over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, what every setting should be set to keep your information locked down. I love posting on social media, but only my friends can see what I post, not the entire world to see. And I think that's very important.
But then you would have to have a very curated list of actually, like, you know, who your so-called friends are on social media. And you'd have to probably keep it very tight, right?
Definitely the Instagram especially allows you to keep a close friends list so that you can share just more intimate details with a certain amount of people. But a lot of people don't post pictures of their trips until they're back.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I have a lot of friends that do that. And I think that's a very, very smart strategy for a variety of reasons. And it's, these are things that we probably don't think of every day when we're posting on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, but it can cause a security risk.
Absolutely. And, you asked me about current scams. One thing that we see very often are duplicate social media accounts. How often have you received a friend request from someone that you're already friends with?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Or, hey, my account got hacked. And then they're conversing with you in a way that you know is not your friend.
That's right.
So there's, what's the purpose of people doing, other than too much time on their hands, what's the purpose of people doing that?
I think there's two purposes. One is they are trying to get money from you. They will say that they have, they're in some kind of predicament and they need a gift card or they need money wired immediately. And the other is once they're friends with you, they have access to your friend list and they're going to do it all over again and pretend to be you. So don't accept friend requests from people that you're already friends with. That's a big one. I'm trying to think of a few others that we've seen. Oh, when you get an email from someone in your company or
someone. Oh, that happens to us all the time that people in my company get messages like it's from me, but it's not from me. And I don't know what the point of that is.
It happens all the time. We have to bring in a cyber investigator to track down IP addresses, but we recommend if there's any money involved, contact that person through a different mechanism to confirm whether it's a text or a phone call or through social media, just confirming, hey, got this message from you. Is it you? Of course, just standard online security protocol, because we do so much online security, online research. Two-factor authentication on everything. I have Google Authenticator. I use it for Facebook, Instagram, for Google, for my financial institutions. I'm looking here to see what else I have on here. My credit card processing, my payroll, Twitter, LinkedIn. No, I cannot log into these accounts without a 6-digit code from Google Authenticator, which changes every 60 seconds on my phone. Another scam that we see often in Miami, especially, is stolen expensive watches. We have people who will, tourists usually, who will come into town and they will go to a club or a bar wearing an expensive watch and then wake up the next morning not knowing what happened and the watch is gone. It's an organized crime down here. They're very good at it. Our clients are embarrassed to go to the police. Maybe they're married. Or otherwise just embarrassed. But honestly, there's not much that can be done about that. So keeping a low profile, of course, online, but also in person is just general good advice.
And that's kind of ironic because I think the thing in Miami is like big car, big watch, big persona. But sometimes I guess people don't realize that the very thing that they are putting out there to promote themselves as who or whatever can be the thing that's going to get them into a lot of trouble. And there are probably some very seasoned people who see these individuals a mile away and know how to target them.
Absolutely. And I think that goes back to some of the things that we do just in general for our clients. The deeper pockets you have, the more problems you have, because people are more likely to go after you, to try to sue you, to take advantage of you, to try to get hurt on one of your properties, to try to do a business deal with you. To try to get someone to work for you to get inside. I mean, there are, the more money you have, the more reason you have to background check everybody that comes into your circles.
And for people like who are just looking to protect whatever they have online, when it comes to like banking passwords and passwords, how often do you recommend that you change your passwords? Because that's definitely a security issue also.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to have your two-factor authenticator enabled. But I think monthly is a good rule of thumb. But I also think changing even your Wi-Fi and your router passwords is important, which most people don't realize that they should be doing from time to time.
Okay, maybe you could educate me a little bit on this. I've heard like never go onto bank accounts when you're on the airplane Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Is that like a very common thing that people are going to hack into your accounts because you were on a public Wi-Fi system?
It is. When you're at a Starbucks or at a hotel or in an airplane and you log into public Wi-Fi, it may say free Starbucks Wi-Fi or Hilton Wi-Fi. And it's very easy for someone with very little knowledge and hardware to set up a fake Wi-Fi program. And instead of logging into the actual Starbucks or actual Hilton, you're logging into someone else's system, computer, wow, giving them access to everything.
And does that happen a lot, Mark?
It's called man in the middle. It happens. It happens enough where that is why people use VPNs, which is what I recommend.
Can you I need that education, and I'm sure our listeners do too, because I know that some of my friends who were more tech savvy, I'm thinking of a friend's husband in particular, who's a tech guy, set up a VPN in his house. What is that and how do we do it?
Yeah, so I use a service called VPN Unlimited. I think we pay $70 a year for it. I think it covers 5 devices. It locks down your IP. You can change the location, so you can even, so the internet thinks you're logging in from some other place, but at least it protects your, it gives an extra layer of security to your phone, to your searches, where if you're logged into public Wi-Fi, they cannot see what you're doing. It's protecting your searches. However,
so if you're at Starbucks and you're going into your bank account, if you have this VPN Unlimited, you're protecting yourself?
You are protecting yourself. However, I think personally, what I do is I use my phone as a hotspot. I feel that is easier than a VPN, because a VPN sometimes can slow you down a little bit. And I know I'm keeping more control because I'm not hopping on any public Wi-Fi. I'm just using my phone as a hotspot and keeping my communications secure. To me, that's the best thing that you can do. Do not use public Wi-Fi. If you have to use public Wi-Fi, use a VPN.
Good to know. And because we all use public Wi-Fi, you know, if we're in the airport, if we're in a, like you said, Starbucks or anywhere, I mean, there's public Wi-Fi is everywhere. And I think a lot of people don't realize what a security risk you're putting yourself in by just getting on that public train, right?
Yes, you're giving access, even if it's a legit, you know, a business or a small store giving you free Wi-Fi, you're giving them access to your searches, to your computer, to your information. I just don't think it's worth it. If you have to do sensitive searching or your banking, maybe wait to your home.
And I had a friend who had one of the banking apps on her phone and it got hacked. So since that time, I've never put like a banking app on my phone. Do you recommend avoiding that as well?
I mean, I think the banks are incentivized to provide secure mobile apps and ease and efficient use. So I think the major institutions, I would trust those as long as you're actually downloading the right app. On Apple, there's a very strict protocol for how apps are approved into the App Store. Google allows for a lot more apps to be approved without as deep security checks. If you jailbreak your iPhone so you can download apps outside of the App Store, you may be allowing in a dangerous or malicious app. So I think for many reasons, iPhones are more secure. Don't jailbreak it. Only download from the App Store. And I think generally in that case, you're safe.
That's very good to know. So as we move towards the close of the show, can you just give us a laundry list of things, people and places we should be aware of?
People and places you should be aware of.
People, places, things like how can we all ramp up our personal security? If you're just to give us a long list, like what's the most common, aha for people?
Yeah.
Obviously changing your passwords once a month.
Looking at your social media from someone else's account to see what you're actually posting, what strangers can see. Non social media friends
on your calendar
can see.
Take them to FLL. Oops. Starts in 10 minutes.
You definitely want to set up the Google alerts to see what, again, who's posting about you. But I really do think the social media is the most important thing. That is where most people will check. That's what's being indexed along Google as well. You need to see what you're showing on there. And I think most people would be very surprised by how much information they're sharing with people they don't want to be sharing it with. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a professional person and you are talking to someone on the phone, a new contact, a new potential client. They want to know who you are. They want to see what you look like, right? They go to Facebook or Instagram just to see your face. You don't want that person seeing you out in a situation that's not professional necessarily. So I think it's very important to check your social media from someone else's site. Check your privacy settings. Go through the security checkups. That's so important. Set up news alerts on Google. We have clients who have asked us to run background reports on themselves. They want to see what comes up if other people are going to run a background report on them. So those are some of the basic protocols.
And yeah, I think that's good advice for people who are out there looking for new employment, is to not have like half nude, drunken pictures of yourself on Instagram, because employers do look at that, right?
They absolutely do. Again, I'm not a lawyer, so there's been a lot of rules about what you're allowed to look at and not look at when it comes to social media for employment. But people do it. And I think it's worth the effort to do the security checkups, to be changing your passwords on your social media, and of course, enable the two-factor authenticator. That's the most important thing that you can do on everything from your QuickBooks to your financial, to your social media, to Google, to your CRM, to Dropbox. Enable two-factor authenticator. It is so, so critical and will protect you a lot more than most people.
Thank you for that. And, you know, I think that when it comes to posting on social media too, people need to be ultra cautious and careful if they're representing a company, even if they're a contractor, posting political viewpoints or, you know, controversial information. Or we had one of our YogaFit trainers, you know, post some things on adult entertainment toys that I just, you know, I looked at, I kind of cringed and I was like, wow, that's really not the image that I think people want to be presenting to the greater world. So is there some type of, do you refer people out to like social media coaches and kind of caution people as to what is and may not be appropriate?
Well, I think there's a number of things. First of all, when we do jury vetting, which is when you get called into a jury duty, we do a real-time jury vetting for attorneys. And that's the first thing we do, is look at a person's social media posts. What are their political views? What news sources are they drawing from? What are they saying about certain subjects? So I absolutely agree with you. I think, you know, that's totally a representation of a person in a company that they may not want public. As far as consulting, I think the social media privacy tip sheet, which we offer, is a great, great tool to check.
Send me that, Mark, and we'll put that in our show notes if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I'm happy to.
And please tell our listeners where they can find you if they need to vet their babysitters, their business partners, their romantic partners, firms that they may hire nationally or internationally. How do we find Crossroads Investigations?
Yeah, it's the letter X and the word investigations with an S at the end, .com, xinvestigations.com. We have a whole team of case managers that you can call in and speak to, and happy to consult with you, go over options, a range of options. We don't charge for consultations. You can email us.
And if they mention Make America Healthy, will you take very good care of them?
We will take extra special VIP care.
VIP, everyone. Your VIP is Make America Healthy. Mark, thank you so much for coming on this show about your security health. This was, I learned a lot today, which I love. And I think you're awesome at your job. It's so great that you worked for the CIA and all those other companies. And again, I've used your services and I probably should be using them a lot more often. So thank you. We'll see you soon. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this show. If you know someone who could benefit from this information, please share this show. Remember, here at Make America Healthy, we are committed to you being healthy in every single way that you can, and empowering you with information, tools, and knowledge so that you can make better informed choices. We'd like to thank our sponsors, YogaFit.com, the leader in yoga, mind, body, fitness education internationally. We have conferences, trainings, workshops. We also do a lot of corporate wellness. I just taught yoga to a group of EO people last week who are in South Florida and cooked them a healthy yoga lean breakfast on their retreat. You can find me online if you want me to speak at one of your events or present, bethshaw.com. You can visit yogafit.com and save 15% at checkout on any of our programs, including corporate wellness, by entering the code VOICE23. Please check me out on Instagram. It's very peachy, at Beth Shaw Health. And if you need to message me again, you can do that off of bethshaw.com. Thank you so much. Namaste, everyone. Stay healthy, stay happy, stay peaceful, stay calm, stay informed, and keep educating yourself. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us on Make America Healthy. We hope we've given you some tools you need to take back control of your health. Until next time, we wish you a healthy and wonderful week.